Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum, this week, Truma. This week, Rabbi Mike Foyer discusses Truma. Rabbi Mike Foyer is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Mike Foyer.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Truma. And when one looks at Parsha Truma and its companion Parsha next week, Parsha Tetzaveh, you're immediately struck by the intense detail which is offered in the description of the Mishkan, of the Holy Tabernacle, the portable meeting place that the children of Israel built for God. The intense detail which is given even though it was never meant to be reconstructed. And to me, this raises a very fundamental question, which is, what does the experience of beauty add to our sense of holiness? And in our tradition, the relationship between beauty and holiness is encapsulated by the word tiferet, which is alternately translated as glory and beauty, and is deeply associated with truth in a way that we'll speak out in a moment. If you look in the 28th chapter of Shmot, in the second line, you'll see that when it describes the clothing which Moshe is commanded to make for his brother Aaron in his role as the high priest, as the Kohen Gadol, it says that this clothing is for chavod ulitifare. It's for his glory and for beauty. And, you know, tiferet in the mystical tradition represents the harmonization of two absolute principles. On the right you have loving kindness. On the left you have judgment. Right? On the right is the unbounded outpouring, and on the left is the drawing of boundaries which can receive. And it's the harmonization between these two absolute which creates tiferet, which creates the experience of beauty, and is also an indicator of truth. Because, of course, the truth is always about harmonizing all the elements of a picture and allowing their wholeness to emerge. And so, I would just like to end this opening with a simple question, which I believe the intense description of the detail and the beautiful nature of the Mishkan poses, which is, what faculties do we have ourselves for accessing holiness? Now, in another point, we see that a very important transformation, which is also encapsulated in language, occurs in our Parsha. And that is, in the 25th chapter, in the 16th line, we see that the Torah says to us, when it's speaking about the ark, right, in which the tablets of the covenant are going to be placed, right, it says there, "Venatata el ha'aron et ha'edut asher eten elecha," right, and you should put into the ark the testimony which I will give you, right, and this is the moment in which the Torah, the teachings, or perhaps even the two tablets, right, the commandments which Moshe received, they became an edut, a testimony. I mean, the truth is, the first use of this is way back in the 16th chapter, in the 34th line. But it really is institutionalized into the life of Am Yisrael in this moment, when the Ark, which will sit at the center of the entire worship that the temple and in its day the Mishkan represent, right, ceases to be a commandment or a delivery of instruction or information and becomes a testimony. And my question in relation to this is, what does this nature of testimony teach us about the relationship we're being invited to in the Mishkan? I believe it's a shift. It's a shift from a passive recipient to the will of an external creator to an active embodier of that very will in our everyday life, right? In a sense, life, according to the Torah, is not about observing the commandments, but it's about testifying to God's will through my actions. The final piece I'd really like to look at in this parsha is, to me, one of the most powerful images that the Torah offers for the intimacy which exists between man and God. And that is the kruvim, the cherubs. We see in the 25th chapter, in the 22nd line, just after this transformation from Torah to Edut that we spoke about, right? We see there the description of the kaporet, right? The covering, which is meant to sit over the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of this covering, we see the two cherubs, the Kruvim, right? Actually, it begins a little bit before the 22nd line, now that I look more closely at the detail there, but you can look it up if you want. There are these two angels in gold facing each other over the Ark, right? And it says, what's their purpose? And there, actually, in the 22nd line, which is the detail I wanted to look at, it says, "V'no'adati l'cha sham v'dibarti t'cha me'al ha'kaporet mi'bein shnei ha'kruvim." Right? And I will be known to you there. I will meet you there. I will have a sacred meeting place. I'm very grateful to Chaim Fruchter, who corrected me in the first recording of this podcast, where I actually misread the pasuk as being related to nodati. But in this case, it's not nodati in the sense of I will become known through you, but rather noadati. We will make a sacred meeting, a rendezvous in time and space, right between these Kruvim. In order to address this question, it's critical to discover where we've seen the Kruvim before. In this case, it's quite simple. We just open up to the book of Bereishit, the Genesis, in the third chapter, in the 24th line. And there we will find, V'yishkan mikedem legan Eden et ha-Kruvim, that when the first man, Adam HaRishon, had sinned by eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and had been driven out of the garden. And God was worried that he would find his way back to the garden and take also from the tree of life. He placed two things guarding that path. There was the ever-turning sword and there was the Kruvim, which means that the Kruvim are guarding the path to the tree of life. And what can that teach us? What can that teach us? That the Kruvim are guarding the path to the tree of life, and that it's from between them that the living, intimate relationship with God flows. In this respect, I'd like to actually look back a little bit further back in Shemot, to the 12th chapter, in the third line. There, when God is commanding Moshe to pass on the commandment to the children of Israel that they have to separate out a offering for Pesach, the Paschal Lamb. And it says, "Dabru el kol adat Yisrael lemo, v'aso l'chodesh hazeh, v'ikhu lahem ish seh levet avod, seh levayit." Okay, it says you should speak to all of the congregation of Israel and say to them that on the 10th of this month, they should everyone take a baby sheep, right? Each household, right, a sheep to its house. Fine. But Rashi immediately has a question. He says, what is a dabru? Isn't Moshe responsible for saying this? Shouldn't it say daber in the singular and not dabru in the plural? And Rashi there says, v'chi Aaron midaber, what, Aaron's also speaking? But didn't we already see that it taught back in the 7th chapter of Shemot, ata tidaber, God says to Moshe, you speak, meaning you and not Aaron? So Rashi explains this in a beautiful fashion. He says, ela chokin kavod zelazer. Right, rather, they were honoring each other. How were they honoring each other? Va'omrim zelaze lamdeni. Each one would say to the other one, lamdeni, you teach me. No, Moshe, you teach me. No, Aaron, you teach me. And as they were honoring each other and inviting each other to speak and to teach them so that they could learn, hadibu yotze miben shnehem. Right, the speech actually came out from between them. Ki'ilu shnehem midabrim. As if both of them were speaking. This comes to teach us a very profound truth, that the real voice of God, real instruction, comes out when two people honor each other and they make space between them for teaching to emerge. And it's that space between, right, the space between these two cherubs, these two angelic incarnations, which the sages teach us in many respects represent the love between God and Israel, is the space in which an intimacy of meeting can happen, and it's the space from which the living relationship, the voice of God, as God says to Moshe, from there I will speak to you. Right? This is coming to teach us something very important, that we're not passive recipients of information from on high, but there's an invitation. You teach me. No, you teach me. No, you teach me. And from in between, the voice will emerge. And just to build on that image, in order to conclude, the Gemara in Brachot asks a very simple question. It says, what direction should someone face when they pray? And this is well known to many people. When it says, when you're outside of the land of Israel, you face the land of Israel. When you're inside the land of Israel, you face Jerusalem. When you're in Jerusalem, you face the Temple Mount. When you're on the Temple Mount, you face toward the Heichal, the palace of the temple. When you're there in the Heichal, you face the Holy of Holies. And if you were in the Holy of Holies, if you happened to be the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, on that one day of year on Yom Kippur, when you would actually enter into the most sacred of sacred spaces, where do you face then? Well, you face that space between the Kruvim. Now, aside from the power of the image of the circles, I want you to picture all of Am Yisrael. Picture them from above, of these great series of concentric circles facing inwards to that open space between the Kruvim, to that potential that exists in every relationship. Because in every relationship, there's me, there's you, and there's the space between us. And it's the space between us from which real relationship emerges. Because if I erase you in the relationship, or you erase me, there's no relationship, there's only you or I. It's the fact that we give each other space that allows for the intimacy of relationship. But what's so beautiful to me is in this image of these concentric circles of all the Jewish people turning toward Jerusalem to pray, we realize that what do we see through that empty space? We see each other. Because when the Jewish people face each other, and we honor each other, and we invite each other, saying, Lamdeni, you teach me. No, Lamdeni, you teach me. And we pray, then the voice of God can truly emerge from in between us. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Foyer. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.